This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Arsenal return to the top of the Premier League table with an opportunity, of course, to make that even better in the coming weeks. But we are reliant upon relegation threat and Sheffield United from keeping us there. And not only that, but it's a pretty boring fixture that ended up getting Arsenal into the position. But it doesn't matter. I will take boring as long as it delivers 3 points. This is the Arsenal Raw Reaction Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk. Back again with you guys for another episode of what is an incredibly difficult morning here at TGT Towers, if you want to call it that. The connection is dreadful this morning. I don't know why. I don't know if there's been an issue in our area or whatever, but I've reset everything. I've replugged in everything and I still think the internet issues are pretty bad. So I'd just like to start this off with an apology because the internet connection is pretty poor. I'm hoping that we are going to be, you can hear me fine and I'm sounding fine and all of that usual stuff. And whilst I'd love to use the superpower of a certain VPN to help me out, unfortunately, that's not its job. So I can see plenty of you in the chat box suggesting. So unfortunately, I can't use that. But please do let me. I think we're going to be maybe chopping in and out a little bit throughout the show, but hopefully it's going to be fine and hopefully help. Yeah, a show where I'm off. I have really no idea what's going on this morning. At the Emirates yesterday, I had some really big issues, like connection-wise, on another laptop. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm cursed. Maybe that could be it. But let's just see. Let's just see if we can get through today's show in some way, shape, or form. Again, and my apologies for that. But please do drop a like on the video. Please do subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss, even if you'll be able to hear this one, miss a show because that would be incredibly appreciate it. It may be needed more than any other this morning whilst technology appears to be trying to let us down as much as it can. We may even have to scrap this show, I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see. Anyway, Arsenal managed to secure a significant victory in an Arsenal 2 Luton 0 victory. It was a really boring game. I'm going to be very honest about that. I'm not going to try and dress this up as any kind of brilliance from Arsenal, because it wasn't. It wasn't brilliant. It wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic. It was pretty darn poor, is what it was in the end for Arsenal, in terms of like a spectacle. But that said, I will take that. I will take boring. I will take unimpressive. I will take whatever it takes, as long as Arsenal get the 3 points. That is what is most important in the scheme of a title race. It is just the key point of making sure that you get your victories. And that is what we got last night, is a win. And not only that, but of course, Arsenal made significant changes to their team. In fact, we made 5 changes to the starting 11 from the match against Manchester City at the weekend. And that was obviously a game that was highly scrutinised for how Arsenal approached it, how they adapted to the game. But ultimately, in the end, I look at what we've got and I look at the depth that we've got and the fact that we can make that number of changes for a Premier League game just a few days after a massive test against Man City and still come out on top, not only on top, but completely unscathed, really. There was not at any point a sense of fear. I didn't at any point feel as though Luton Town were going to be threatening or had a chance to really threaten us on the day, which was really positive as well. And we started off the game pretty, you know, it was pretty dull. We weren't creating too much. There was clearly some familiarity issues as players tried to work out one another and, you know, kind of if, what's the word I'm looking for? I suppose create kind of a scenario where they know where each other's going to be. Reece Nelson started on the right. And I thought there were moments where Arteta was kind of shouting at Reece Nelson to get back because it would take him a few seconds to kind of react. It would take him a few seconds to react to the situation. If Luton were countering, for example, whereas you would have kind of Saka running back, Reece Nelson was like, oh, I need to run back. And so therefore would be a few seconds delayed before he did. And that, I think, did affect things somewhat. You also had Smith Rowe playing in a midfield role, playing slightly further advanced. Thomas Partey obviously sitting at the base of the midfield, playing a role that was quite interesting. I was speaking to Harry Simeon before the game. We both kind of agreed that that having Zinchenko playing as a left back meant that you can play Partey on his own. Because what it means is that you've got two kind of base midfielders. And Zinchenko was all over the field. I'm curious what his heat map looked like. But structurally, it was always going to be something of a challenge. But because of how depleted Luton were as well, it meant that Arsenal were able to be as dominant as they usually are. And eventually we found the breakthrough. And the breakthrough came from a really good moment from Emile Smith Rowe. A fantastic tackle in the middle of the park and then laying it off to Odegaard, who finds Havertz, who has the peace of mind to kind of hold the ball up and be patient until Odegaard gets into position, executes the crossfield pass perfectly. And it's a fantastic Odegaard-style finish, an absolutely slamming strike into the bottom corner, giving Kaminski absolutely no chance whatsoever. And that just completely relieved all of the pressure. And I think in another game in which Arsenal maybe had their strongest lineup available, go for it and score 3, 4, 5, 6. But because we didn't have our first team there, because Luton never really wanted to threaten and were just kind of sitting back, I never really saw it going that way. And so because of that, and because it didn't really go, you know, that way, I think that I'm really happy that it just turned out of a simple victory and that we can just kind of come away happy with 3 points. So yeah, let's hope that most games this season, if indeed we need to take a controlled and a measured approach to a game with a number of changes, which we might indeed need to implement, then obviously that type of performance is fine. I saw a couple of comments after the game saying, oh, well, we're not going to win the title if we play like this. And it's a case of like, well, yeah, obviously we're not going to win the title if we play that, but we're not going to play that way in the games throughout the course of the rest of the season. It's just not going to happen, is it? Like, we're not going to play like that, especially when we have five changes and especially when you've got players that haven't really played any minutes whatsoever are coming into the team. It's not going to happen. So I don't have any concerns about the way that we played, but the second goal really took all the pressure off. And again, Emile Smith Rowe very much involved in the processes there, very much involved in what Arsenal were doing. And it was a really good ball from Trossard to find him on that left-hand side. And the cutback just gave Hashioka and in the end, Nelson, not really much chance. I was frustrated that Nelson didn't actually get the decisive touch in the game and in that moment. And I suppose maybe we're asking too much when it comes to that. But yeah, Reece Nelson, I think, had an interesting performance, was energetic, was lively. I wanted a little bit more from him to take this opportunity, but I don't think I could be too critical whatsoever. Again, it was one of those games. It's a really hard game to analyse in some ways, just because of the way that it did end up playing out. But Smith Rowe and Reece Nelson to have the performances that they did, and Smith Rowe, of course, in particular, who was given the Man of the Match award, energetic, defensively astute, really committed to the cause, I think delivered a very Arteta wanting display. He absolutely waxed lyrical about him in his post-match press conference, did Arteta. He was talking about him as if he was like the greatest player on earth for the majority of his press, to say like he's an absolute delight to watch. And you know, if that's the case, obviously you want to see him start more games, I guess. Just speaking to that press conference after the game, he said, I look at my players in my squad in a different way. It's a joy to have them fit. If we want to utilise the squad and maximise what they have to play. I think it was the right moment to do that, and they responded really well. I'm so happy with that because I think we've won again, especially with a few players with good confidence physically and the rhythm right now. They're going to be really important for us. And so therefore, I think that you can only be happy with that performance from Smith Rowe. Does it change anything about his future? Is it going to change anything about his future in terms of, is he going to stay in the summer? Does this mean he's going to get more minutes? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think this is going to have any major kind of impact on his future at the... I think I disconnected there for a second. Sorry. I don't think this is going to have any kind of massive impact on his future at the club in any way, shape or form. I think that if he was ever going to leave, this game hasn't changed that. Is it going to up his value? Maybe slightly. I always thought that he had a value of around 30 to 40, maybe 40 plus million pounds anyway. So I don't think that's necessarily going to have changed things. Now, Mikel Arteta did say that Saka was close to playing. I was kind of briefed with the other journalists in the press lounge before the game, you know, that it doesn't seem like it's an issue for Saka as to why he wasn't in the squad. So I don't think there's any need to worry about that. And I'm certainly not worried about that. I'd expect Saka to probably be fit and start the game against Brood for him to... It's good for Saka to get a rest. It's important for Saka to get a rest because... he has been playing a lot of football. I know he didn't play over the international break, but ultimately, as long as he gets some time away from the field, and if they don't risk, you don't need to risk players. If you can't complete the activities in the training sessions, don't risk him. We just don't need to risk him. And we didn't. We didn't risk him, which is obviously a really good thing. And we came away with a win without him in the side anyway. And I know we had some substitute performances. Martinelli coming off the bench. Good to see him play. You think he'd probably start at the weekend. Rice, of course, getting a much-needed rest as well. That was quite intriguing to see him start from the bench. Jorginho, of course, came off the bench as well. Whether he comes in back into the team on Saturday, potentially he might, although they might save him for the Bayern Munich game, which, of course, is only just around the corner. Now, just in terms of the Premier League roundup and what we can potentially expect from some of our players, some of the other teams in the league. Tonight, we see Liverpool play Sheffield United and Chelsea play Man United. I'm not expecting anything from Sheffield United. I'm not expecting this to be a game in which Liverpool slip up and I expect them to return to the top of the table. Meanwhile, Manchester City, of course, closed the gap to us once again to just that 1 point. And we saw all of the critics come out saying, oh, look at Villa going and entertaining at the Etihad. You know what else Villa did at the Etihad? They got battered. They got absolutely battered. Going, oh, well, they've brought their B team and they've still managed to score at the Etihad. I couldn't give a fly. And you know what? If Villa are scoring a goal, because they're conceding four. This is why we moved on from Unai Emery. We don't want the naivety. We don't need that. It was almost like they gifted City the win on the day. I don't know if it was kind of saltiness from Unai Emery about being sacked from Arsenal and then giving City the points. It was a really naive approach from Villa. Yes, they scored. Yes, they got back into the game after going 1-0 down early on, which, of course, we didn't. And it's something that we haven't done for years. We used to always concede really early at Manchester City. Things have changed. Arsenal need to adapt. Arsenal need to change the way they play when they go up against certain teams. And despite all the mick-taking, I think people ended up embarrassing themselves with takes like that. And then we saw Brentford play Brighton and Hove Albion. If Arsenal's game was boring, I've spoken to a couple of people that were at this Brentford-Brighton game, and my goodness me, apparently it was dreadful. Apparently this is the seventh straight game for Brentford that Tony has failed to score in as well. Just thought I'd bring that up. There's no agenda or anything. Just thought I'd bring that up. And of course, the other game being Arsenal's win against Luton. And that leaves Arsenal top of the table. A point ahead of City. 2 points. 1 point ahead of Liverpool as well. But they can, of course, return to the top of the table with a win over Sheffield United tonight. Right, I'm going to press the button for the second part of the show. I don't know if it's going to work because nothing's working for me today. But let's see if it goes. Here we go. Oh, we'll be back right after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. I'm scared to like press anything at the moment. I feel like I press a button and something's going to break. I loaded up the Arsenal website to go onto the press conference just to read those quotes. And then I just saw the internet just overload. It's absolutely ridiculous. So if I don't know if I'm blurry or fuzzy whilst you're watching. Again, massive apologies for the connectivity issues. I'm probably going to go blurry at different points throughout this second part. I can only apologise for that. I may cut out. I don't know what's going on. We have expected some pretty stormy weather last night down in the south. I don't know if that's affected the internet in the area. It's not usually like this, so I can only apologise for that. It is incredibly frustrating from my perspective. I've already had to reset up the show once. But yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's however frustrating it is for you, believe me, it's more frustrating for me. So I'm sorry about that. Jakob says, Tom, who would you pick to sign for the competition to Saka? I feel like we need a left-footed winger to give him a rest and stick with Arteta's inverted winger vision. It's a good question. Obviously, Pedro Neto is the one that stands out, but can you get over his injury record? I really love Xavi Simmons. He's a two-footed player. So that kind of rules out the whole, well, inverted, because he can play both styles as well. But PSG don't seem to be looking to sell him. Do you go with Nico Williams, Athletic Club in Spain? Again, a player that can play on both sides, but again, not really inverted. I believe he's a right-footer on the right-hand side and can play on the left as an inverted winger on that side. But we've got a lot of depth on the left-hand side. There's not loads of options. But let us know some of yours, perhaps, in the chat box as well. Matt G says, Tom, does Smith Rowe get an assist for the own goal? I believe he does in fantasy terms. I don't know if he does in official Premier League terms, though. That is something I'm not 100% sure on. But yeah, he did get the assist when it came to a fantasy. But I don't know whether or not he gets it for the official Premier League stats. Nick says, Tom, Man United fans getting excited about their backroom staff recruitment. However, let's not forget it's the same guy who brought Tonali to Newcastle. I don't know about that. I know what you're saying. But they are making some very smart decisions. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. Nell says, I don't know, Tom, about you, but I felt like I was watching a defensive session second half. It seemed that was how we wanted it, almost to expand further from the huge defensive display against City. It was almost like we were testing Luton, saying, come on then. Have a go. Like, we're just kind of content with this 2-0 lead and we're just going to see this one out, which I haven't got too much of an issue with. But if you concede, it can get pretty nervy pretty quickly. Rob says, do you think Arteta fawning over Smith Rowe is about PR, either upping his transfer value or persuading Smith Rowe to stay? I mean, everything's said with a reason. There's always a reason behind these things. So maybe he was doing it for one of those two reasons. It is a press conference. He wants to be very praising. If he gets a chance to talk really, you know, up very happily about one of his players, then he tends to try and do that. So I think that's what we ultimately ended up seeing. Daniel Mackey says, I tried some chocolate cake on the way to the game last night. You all must try it. Every bit as good as Tom suggests. Now, I'm going to be trying the Saka sauce. I am going to Nando's today and will be in attendance to try Saka's new sauce, which does mean, of course, that I will be what's the word, treating myself to a slice of Nando's chocolate cake as well, because you cannot categorically go to Nando's now without having chocolate cake. And by the way, I have been sent a lot of messages of people with pictures of their chocolate cake from Nando's. Nando's, you are welcome. This is completely free advertisement, you know, in terms of that. I'm not sponsored anyway by Nando's, but I just love the chocolate cake. And it is the greatest chocolate cake I've ever tried. You wouldn't expect it from what is ostensibly a chicken shop. But thank you to everybody that continues to send me messages saying they've tried the chocolate cake for the first time and they now recognize it as the best chocolate cake that they have ever had in their lives, as Daniel has said there. So thank you. Thank you for that. Peter says, Tom, I thought yesterday was a good reserve performance. We got the two goals needed and then we went into cruise control. Only criticism I have is giving the ball away sloppily in the second half. What are your thoughts? And I think you're probably spot on, Peter. Yeah, we could have been a little bit more conservative. We could have been a little bit more, maybe, I suppose, attacking at times. But I think they were just kind of happy. It's as simple as that. Andrew says, sadly, this chocolate cake is a UK thing. It's not available in Australia. Australian Nando's don't have chocolate cake. You are bereft, Angela, of something quite special. Well, if you come to the UK, now you've got a reason to go to a Nando's over here. Fuad says, Tom, are you getting a bit frustrated? Yes, I am. This connection is terrible. No, sorry. Tom, are you getting a bit frustrated with Kai's constant need to be, let's be honest, dive? He got away with it against Brentford, which would have sent him off, and got booked last night right before he got subbed. He needs to cut it out. It's as simple as that. It was a pathetic dive from Kai. I'm one of Kai's biggest fans, but he needs to sort it out. Like, it was really frustrating because obviously I wrote a piece yesterday. Was it yesterday? No, the day before yesterday. I wrote a piece on Tuesday. I thought about talking about it yesterday. I didn't really have a reason to bring it up, but I wrote a piece about the fact that there is obviously three games between now and the cutoff point that we've got coming up for where the yellow card situation kind of just ends itself, that you don't have to worry about it anymore. In the three games against Luton, against Brighton, and against Villa, if he avoided a booking in any of those three games, he wouldn't have to worry about a two-match ban. And I wrote this piece saying that if he gets booked in the next three games, he'll obviously face that two-match ban. And it was also a piece which delved into how Arteta has changed kind of the discipline records. And I talked about how that discipline record has progressed over the last 3 to 4 seasons under Arteta as well. So there was more in it than just the thing about Havertz. But my goodness me, did I get a load of stick for this article. On Twitter, the abuse that I was getting was ridiculous. I don't really understand why. I absolutely understand kind of the headline, maybe, or the tweet I put out was a little bit like, come and read the piece sort of thing. But I put effort into these pieces. I want you to come and read them. And I didn't really get I didn't really understand why I got so much stick for that. But I did. It's one of those things. At the end of the day, you got to just grit and bear it. I did put a tweet out the other day saying, you know, surround yourself with people that support you and move on from the ones that don't. And supporters, by the way, are people that still give you criticism. You know, we're supporters of Arsenal. We still criticise Arsenal. It's not about having yes men around you. But it was really odd. But just back to your question, Fouad, you know, he absolutely just needs to cut it out of his game because it is getting a little bit ridiculous. Ben says, again, Tom, why not look at a player like Crescencio Somerville at Leeds? He put up a respectable number in the Premier League last season and looks this season very good also. It could be another Tony. That's not the best comparison, Ben, to be honest. Tony's not scored in his last 7 games for Brentford. But is there something to be said about a player like Somerville coming in and being, I'd say, that step up to the next level? I think maybe Arsenal should be looking at something a bit, you know, just something better, really, than Somerville. It's not a bad suggestion, but I think there are maybe better players out there than him. He strikes me as maybe a bit of a Newcastle type signing. Maybe you'll see that happen. Let's go to Josh. He says, I know Neto is our main target. I don't know if he is, actually, to be fair, Josh. There's nothing been said that he's our main target. But how about Frimpong? He's dominating the Bundesliga. I want to see him late. I went to see him late at the last night, a few mates, and they destroyed Dusseldorf. What a player. He is a wing back. I know he's scoring loads of goals. He could probably play as a winger as well. You know, he's a player that I followed for a long time, actually. I followed him when he was at Celtic. I was writing pieces about him when he was in Scotland and if or not he could make the switch to the Premier League. He used to obviously be in the City Academy, I think, as well, from memory. And he's just fitted into that wing-back system beautifully. So whether or not he works for Arsenal, he's also going to cost you a hell of a lot of money by Leverkusen. They're only going to accept massive money for him. I don't know if he fits. But yeah, let's wait and see. Benny Blanco says, Zinny is terrible. Harsh, especially considering that he's the only player on the field that managed to complete two passes to every single player in the Arsenal team last night. Yes, he had a couple of mistakes. It's the way that he plays. It's his style. He gives the ball away sometimes, and that gets kind of focused in on more than anything else. But he was still really influential, and positionally, he was really important to allowing Partey to play the deep role on his own for some degree. Is he going to be our left back going forwards? Is he going to be our starting left back in our most important games? I don't think so. I don't think he's going to be, but he is a really good option for us. I've actually got an interview with him coming out a little bit later on today, so make sure you look out for that on football.london a little bit later on. So there you go. Ambley says, Zinny is not terrible. Stop this foolishness. He works very well with Partey. As I said, like, he is the only player that completed two passes to every single player in the Arsenal team. He was all over. You know, he was influential. He was important in the way in which we were building up the play. But he's not without his flaws, and he has flaws. But to say he is terrible, to say that he is a liability, as G-Dog rather ridiculously says here, is hyperbole, is exaggeration. He's important to the build-up, and he's a different option for us, especially in these types of games. And he had some good moments. But people, you know, some people sadly can't escape the little mistakes, and that's what sticks in their mind, and they forget everything else that the player does in a game. It's as simple as that. So there you go. Cross Junkie, this is a very interesting named person in our chat, says, Tom, was it quiet in the stadium as it seemed like it was in the coverage last night? Yes. Yes, it was quiet. It was very quiet. I am sympathetic in some way. It was an evening game. It was against Luton. We've made big changes. It wasn't the most exciting game. They tried. There were really times where we tried to make some noise, but they weren't really having it. And sometimes the Emirates can be like that. You know, sometimes the Emirates can just be like that. What I'm worried about is that in games where we've got coming up, like, you expect us when we play Bayern Munich that it's going to be a ridiculously good atmosphere. Like, it's going to be really loud. It's going to be, you know, noisy throughout, and we're going to be lifting the team up going forwards. You know it's going to be like that. But when we have, like, Bournemouth at home, that their games I sometimes worry about a little bit, because there's almost an expectation from fans that we're going to win by loads of goals. And if we're not winning by 20 minutes, it goes very quiet and you start to build frustration. And rather than the crowd responding with, like, you know, raucous support, it can sometimes revert to type, as we've seen in previous seasons. So yeah, it's a tricky one. I empathized it last night. It weren't the most enthralling game. We made a lot of changes. It was pretty boring, pretty dull, and we got a lead early on. And, you know, there is a concern there. And I don't think it's too bad to have a concern about it, but it is the reality, you know, of the situation, that some games are going to be trickier than others to get the response we want. I am going to end the show there, only because I'm getting incredibly frustrated with the connection side of things. I can only hold my hands up and apologise. I will do my best to have it sorted by tomorrow, but it might be something that sadly is out of my hands. It's just to do with the area that I'm in at the moment, the internet that we're going through right now. I'm going to switch up the cable and everything else, and hopefully it turns up. Even the Wi-Fi. I've got wired internet. It shouldn't be bad. I think it's an area issue today, it seems. So please do accept my apologies for that. I can only speak in those words. We soldiered on and we got through it and we did it together. If you could drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here, I would incredibly appreciate it today more than perhaps any other, considering the issues that we've had connectivity-wise. It is what it is. Let me know your thoughts on the game in the comments section down below. I'll be back with you all tomorrow morning, of course, for the build-up now to the next game, which, when we wake up tomorrow, will be tomorrow. It's mad to think that in just 2 days we have another game. That's the reality of Arsenal right now. You wake up after a game and you've got 2 days before another game. So tomorrow will be the day before the next game. It's coming thick and fast. It's football. We love it. And it's going to be a real challenge for us, but it does keep us having plenty to talk about. Have a fantastic Thursday. One of the best days of the week. And then tomorrow's Friday. Happy days. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe. Stay well. Stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. Pressing the button now. Please work. Please work.
It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.